What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready.
Ready
to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church a tiny family feel. Oh, we introduce you to members of our church staff and our community. It's a treat and a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
OT to the NT, Hallie. How are you?
Blessed, blessed, blessed.
I am also blessed, although it has been a bit of a tough weekend with my teens who are trying to come to Climax.
Oh, what happened?
Well, you know, as we entered the gym just the other day, there was a smell.
A smell?
Yes, and I went into the guys' bathroom, and Hallie, it looked like the 12th layer of hell in there.
Oh.
I mean, I hate to name names, but two of my kids, Sovereign, Tierney, and Modern Cook, thought it would be hilarious to stuff a bunch of poo paper into the toilet.
Oh, no.
And as you know, we've got automatic, you know, automagic flush toilets here. And so the toilet was flushing, the poo paper was backing up, the toilet would flush, the poo paper backed up, and there's this poo paper and poo everywhere all over the floor.
What did you do?
So I marched right out there and I said, hey guys, luckily there's a Bible verse for everything. And I said, check out Deuteronomy 23:9. When you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement, for the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you.
I have never heard that verse.
I know. It's
Wait,
just so
great.
Wait,
so God is like, hey, I'm walking here.
Totally. And he's walking around and he doesn't want to walk on your poo or your poo paper.
Wait, so God is walking around the Israelites' camp and he's stepping in doo-doo?
Well, not anymore, because just like the Israelites, I made him clean it up.
Did they?
Well, one of them did. Sovereign did, but Modern actually was wearing this really cool Supreme jumper that he didn't want to get dirty. And I said, okay, you can watch Sovereign do it. Anyway, how was your weekend, Hallie?
Well, my kids have been picking out their Halloween costumes, and my daughters, they would both want to be zombies.
Okay.
And at first I was a little bit worried because I'm going to bring them to the, you know, trick-or-treat here at the Twin Hills campus where they can get the biggest haul of candy for a harvest festival.
That's right.
And, you know, I can also let them run wild and know that they're safe around so many Christ followers around here on such a dark night. But anyway, I want them to dress up like Bible characters. And my youngest goes, Mom, zombies are biblical.
What?
And she said, I can be one of the undead from Ezekiel. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's right.
Oh,
do you remember that story about the vast army of undead in the Bible?
Oh, totally. One of my favorites. And I've... one that my, I used to have an uncle used to tell me that story before sleep.
Oh, I have forgotten about it. So, okay, for anyone out there listening, Ezekiel 37, God and Ezekiel, they entered a valley covered in dry bones. And God decided to use that moment to show Ezekiel some incredible, miraculous, you know, magic. So he asked Ezekiel if he thought all those bones all over the ground could come to life. And Ezekiel goes, well, I don't know. Only you would know that, God, you know, because God knows everything.
That's
and then
right.
God gave Ezekiel this incantation to use, you know, to raise the dead. And the climax of God's spell was the words, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.
Oh, nice God voice, Hallie.
Thank you. And so Ezekiel said the incantation right there. And the Bible says, a vast army of skeletons was brought to life, that the bones were finding each other and attaching and standing, which I cannot even imagine that scene. You're walking along with God, and then on a dare, the next thing you know, you're staring at a vast skeleton army of undead.
I know, and there's probably, you know, getting mixed up of like, hey, that's my bone for my head, and that's my leg bone for you, you know, that was...
Yeah, you got my femur. But it just gets even better because the Bible says the next thing you know, God started attaching tendons and flesh to the bones and breathing breath into them and putting their souls back into their bodies.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's so cool. And then, but you know what happened? It was wild great. I had this moment alone with Senior Pastor Steve the other day.
Oh, cool.
And there was this awkward silence. You know how sometimes, like, he doesn't work real hard to, like, maintain the, like, social situation. He'll just sit there and stare at you.
Well, he doesn't have to.
The window. Exactly. He's probably thinking his thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
So much gravity.
So I'm sitting there with him the other day, and in the awkward silence, I'm trying to think of something to say. And so I told him, I said, you know what? My kids are dressing as the undead from Ezekiel for Halloween.
Oh, what did he say
to
that?
Good conversation starter. And he goes, you know what? He said that he had been taught that it was all like this imagined metaphor that God was using to explain to Ezekiel that the house of Israel was like dried bones. And if the people believe that that's the end of the story, they're mistaken because God's going to restore their kingdom and their land. And that, I guess that is the meaning of the dry bones coming to life.
You know, it's so tough to know which ones are metaphors and which ones are literal sometimes.
That's exactly. So I was kind of embarrassed, Gray, because I felt like I understood it wrong in front of Steve.
Oh, and so I went back. That's got to be so humiliating.
Totally. So I go back to my office and I read the story right out of the Bible again. And Gray, it's so weird. Like nowhere in the text does it say anything about it being a metaphor or an allegory or teaching tool or anything like that. And it just says that they were looking at a vast skeleton army.
Right. I wish I had known that when my uncle was telling it to me at bedtime, a metaphor would have been way less scary.
Oh, you had trouble sleeping?
Oh, I didn't sleep for years.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like the Bible teaches us to defend our faith, our guest today teaches us to defend ourselves. He leads Christ Karate. Oh, it is Mr. Jersh Lurgan. Welcome, Jersh.
Hey, it's really great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Jersh, I am so excited because I'm one of those guys who, you know, I love MMA, I love karate, I love Muay Thai, I love, I love Aikido, Hapkido, I love all that stuff. Don't personally do it, but I'm always just so excited when someone does. And I guess I'm going to go ahead and try right now. If you saw me coming in like this, what would you do? Okay. Wow, he just ducked right out of the way. Did you see
Simple
that?
Simple wrist lock.
Amazing. Yeah, it did kind of hit.
It looks like he waxed on and he waxed off like Mr. Miyagi.
I know, that is so cool. So just tell us a little bit. Oh, God, really did kind of bend my hand there. Tell us how you did get into the martial arts and what the kind of martial arts that you're doing specifically here at Twin Hills.
And how Christ is using it in your life.
Well, honestly, Christ fuels a lot of what I do now. So I you know, like any young, youthful kid, I grew up watching martial art movies, loved Kung Fu, loved Jackie Chan, Jet Li, all of those type of Shanghai cinema and whatnot. And then I started to take karate at my local YMCA.
Ooh, oh, great.
And then I got deep, you guys. Like, I mean, I'm talking like Jeet Kune Do, Taekwondo, Kung Fu even.
Okay.
And I even took a trip to China just to train with a former monk. He wasn't currently a monk.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Well, don't let him know over there that you're a Christ follower.
I didn't. It wasn't until I got back that I really was a little... I saw how it just was incomplete. The martial arts, you know, it's all about the your spirit and the discipline and the power inside you. And I thought, you know, honestly, the power inside me is basically a puddle compared to the power inside the belief of Jesus Christ,
right,
our Lord and Savior. So I started to fuse my two passions, martial arts, with my belief in the Holy Spirit.
Oh my gosh.
And that's where Christ Karate was born.
Very cool. Wow. And so what is the style? Is it kind of an original style that you've created that's based on all the combination of the martial arts and Jesus and Christ specifically?
It's a mix of all of them. It's based on American karate.
Okay.
But then I add a lot of the elements of a church. You know, we have a prayer ceremony, you know, and then some of the tangible things like our belt ceremonies are in reverse. You start with a black belt because in that way I think your spirit is kind of like as dirty and as black as if it was covered in mud and it's kind of like, you know, sinful. And then as you progress through the belts, you go from brown to red to yellow and then to white.
Amazing. So white's the best.
You end with the Yep, white's the best. It's the pure Holy Spirit light.
Yeah, I mean, white is the best. It's really great.
It's like a blameless soul.
That is so cool.
Now, forgive my ignorance, Jersh, but why is it called martial arts? Like, is it like martial law? Like, anyone can do it and you can impose it on anyone you want, just like we Christians can now do in Texas?
You know what? That's where the name comes from. Martial is like a violent.
Is that right?
Having your way with whatever you want to. And the art behind it is it's a craft.
Oh.
I personally don't like to believe if it's an art. It's more of a belief-based system rather than a craft-based system.
Wow. So if I believe I can kick somebody in the head, like maybe Rachel Maddow or somebody who's spreading lies and stuff,
don't
if I believe it, I can do it? Oh, you know her?
Oh, she with her short hair. I hate her haircut. It's just completely unfeminine.
It's like she's trying to have your exact haircut, Jersh.
I know. It's like this haircut's my haircut. It's a man's haircut. You know, not some lady spouting off lies. eyes on the liberal media.
Also, would some mascara kill you, hon? You know what I mean?
We could talk for hours about this. You know, hey, maybe that's something we can use our sport on.
That's right. But my understanding is that this was for Chinese farmers to defend their land, and it's not about being aggressive, but it's about defense. Is that right?
Yeah, that's also what you got a lot of, like, you know, forgive me for saying this, a lot of those weirdo weapons, mm-hmm. you know, like nunchucks, size, bow staffs. Like, my facility does not deal with any of those type of out-of-date, un-American weapons. We actually only use two weapons. We have our fists and our legs and feet, you know, our body. Okay. And then the other is every kid is trained with firearms.
Wow.
So by the end of your first belt, you have your concealed carry license.
Awesome.
You know, so your hands and then your weapon.
Well, I remember you giving a powerful testimony a few weeks ago where you talked about how you had to defend your faith when you were at the roller skating rink with, I guess you've got twin sons, which is cool. And that at this birthday party, you had a bunch of the other dads that were, you know, saying things about about Jesus and, you know, how Jesus was kind of lame or whatever. And you really had to come in and defend your faith. And can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I just, like, just the image of you taking on all those guys it was like out of a movie.
Yeah, I love my twin redheaded boys, Bryce and Bradley, and they were just starting to get picked on first for having a bright orange red of hair. I mean, this is the most beautiful orange you've ever seen. And then these secular dads started to kind of just hoot and holler with their kids. And these are old men kind of yelling at kids and saying how their Christ karate couldn't stop a punch from an old lady in a nursing home.
Oh,
and I jumped in there. And next thing I noticed, I'm in the middle of the roller rink. All these guys are around me.
Oh,
the music
goodness.
Is just blaring, you know, and I just took out these four dads. One of them was pretty bulky too.
Amazing. And
were they on skates?
Yeah, they were all on skates.
And you were on foot.
And I was just like, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh.
Oh, and that is so
awesome.
Cool. I mean, just the image of that that is like a kung fu movie or something, of just like the guys on roller skates and you're able to just like kick them all away.
And when I was done, I kneeled over every single one of them and did the cross on their forehead.
Amazing. I love that. And did you ever have to pull out the gun or no?
Yeah, I pulled it out afterwards just to show all the other moms, because they were like, oh, you know, it was a little bit to calm the scenario down. I gave them a little bit of training, how to load it, how to unload it,
yeah.
You know, the type of magazine that you would use.
Well, you know, and I also thought it was powerful when you did pivot, because I think, you know, as a dad with a dead wife, it's hard for you to be raising those two boys on your own. And, you know, I don't mean to bring up a touchy subject, but how did your wife pass away?
She was shot. It was actually Bryce and Bradley. You know, they say gun accidents happen in the home.
Oh, no. Okay.
They were playing a little game of William Tell. You know, Bryce had the gun and Bradley was up against our drywall, and he got the apple, but he also got Eva.
Oh, right through the wall? She was
yeah.
in the other room?
She was in the other room. She was two rooms away. It went through all of our sheetrock.
And her name was Eva? I mean, the irony of that, they were shooting at an apple and it
hit an Eva.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, trying to get past it. You know, you've got baggage and you got to put it down.
And just think, you know, if Eve hadn't eaten the apple, none of us would be in this predicament with all this sin problem we've got. So, you know.
That's the silver lining. Hey, I'm currently dating, you know, and I'm on the apps. Bryce and Bradley, we're going out.
Oh, you went from apple to Eva to the apps. So that's great. I mean, and I just find it so, and, you know, I think this is encouraging to all the single, you know, widowed dads out there, which is because you gave your testimony 2 weeks ago and you said that was 2 weeks after she had been killed. And I just think that we're 1 month into this whole ordeal and you're already dating. And I just think that is great.
Well, part of martial arts in general is the recoil, the quickness of recoil. So it's about bouncing back quickly.
Oh, wow. And if you're on Christian Friend Finder app, keep your eye out because Gray's on there too on Christian Friend Finder.
Not anymore, but...
I just signed up yesterday. Ah, dang it. I would love to see you. We get a double.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm just a bit too busy to date right now. But, you know, one thing that I've always wondered, Jish, is that, you know, what is some basic... moves, and I'll say self-defense, but let's go ahead and say Christian, or maybe I'll say, you know, what are some basic moves, and I'll say self-defense, but really I mean faith defense. What are some of those moves that normal people, civilians should know when someone is attacking you and your faith, that you are able to disarm them, you know, physically? Because I've watched a lot of YouTubes, and a lot of times it's like, you know, watch this guy take on three people at a bar, or if, like, you know, someone talks to your girlfriend, here's how to, like, claw them in the face. But I've really wanted a video like, hey, if someone says something about your faith, here's a few moves that you should know.
Well, it starts with the stance. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of secular martial arts systems, they have two fists up. You know, even boxing, you hold two fists up.
Uh-huh.
Ours is more of a, we make a cross formation.
Okay.
So it's like the holy the Holy Cross in between you and the sinner that is attacking you.
Okay, great.
And what I teach all my boys, 6 through 12, is just to keep walking forth with the power of Christ, the power of Christ.
Okay, so yeah. You're crossing arms and you're just walking forward into someone.
Yeah, and I know that sounds like, oh, they're just going to punch you in the face or they're going to trip you. And that does happen. That okay. does happen. But with the formation of the cross, what you do is you're hiding your defensive hand, and you also have a block here. So you have two things going on at the same time, a defense and an attack. So once you finally get up to your attacker or your assailant or your bully, whatever, wherever you are,
yes.
You know, I'm not often in a bar, but let me just put myself in there mentally. Let's say I just had 6 or 7 Modelos, and then some guy, you know, he's like, hey, that's my seat, and you talked at my honey or whatever, you know.
Okay. Series. Yeah, you don't have to get too specific, but, you know, I think we can all imagine something, you know, general like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Bruce Springsteen probably is coming over to the loudspeaker, and he puts his hand on your shoulder.
Okay.
The first thing I would do.
And I'm just trying to picture it. What kind of shirt are you wearing?
Something very nice, like a button-up flowery shirt, you know, something you'd wear out on a date or something out in the town. But lots of flower, very ornate.
Okay.
And do you have a mustache or a Fu Manchu? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, I
know, but
nothing's going to stop my freedom from saying it. Yeah, you've got a big, thick kind of Midwest cop mustache.
Okay,
freshly shaven, you know, no 5 o'clock shadow because you're out there to be representable.
A bit similar to you in the shirt you're wearing now.
Yeah, I guess you could say it's me in that scenario.
Right. Oh, okay. Is that Ed Hardy? I really like that shirt, by the way.
It is. Isn't this a good brand?
It is. Cool. Everything he does, I just love the signature.
Yeah, it looks good with that jewelry, too.
I'm on subscription.
Wow, cool.
Oh, really? How much
is
that?
Once a month, they send me a box.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So cool. I just got socks that have just a bunch of E's and H's on them.
Oh, I love Ed Hardy. You know, I hope he's Christian. So anyway, somebody grabs you by the shoulder.
Somebody grabs me by the shoulder. Let's say it's my right shoulder. I form my cross, which is taking my right hand, putting it over the top of my left hand. And then I'm starting to feel the power of Jesus Christ. And then I can spin around, grabbing that person, kind of pulling them close to me. And then just with my elbow over top of their arm, pushing them towards the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
And pushing them towards the ground, staring in their eyes completely. You have to maintain eye contact. And it's just getting them down there, overpowering them. But you know, if you want to get into the technicalities, you're taking your what I would say is your trigger finger. You're taking either their first or third finger. I hate to use the other styles. There's a style called chin na, which is all about finger movement, but I don't call it that. I call it Christ na. And you bend back that figure. It's all about joint manipulation, and you bring him to the ground.
Wow.
And then you ask him, is this going to go any further?
Oh.
Okay.
And what's the answer usually?
In this scenario, the answer is how far do you want to go?
Oh no.
Then it ends in a snap.
Okay.
The second digit of the main finger, snap.
And then of, I mean, you would hope that he would be like, you know, I'm done, but and tap out or whatever.
You know what? Just to continue the imagination, you know, I would also reach into the pocket of his jeans, pull out his keys, and then toss him across the room.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what does that do?
It just gives him an opportunity to escape.
Okay. And then does he take that?
In this scenario, yeah, he takes it.
Okay.
He sees his Nissan key sliding across the door. These are one of the ones that cost $80 to get a replacement because they don't have a key. It's just that, you know, button start. He goes and grabs his keys.
Okay. And you just let him go at that point?
I sit back down in the same spot, order my fourth Modelo, maybe a bit of nachos or something with a sauce, and then I go about my day, turning my back on him.
Wow. Is his girl still in the stool next to you?
Yeah. And she's taking an interest in me.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Now, here I would probably approach slightly. And I'm all, my heart's beating a little bit, and I'm trying to manufacture some slowness. Because in Christ Karate, it's also about controlling yourself or letting Christ help you control yourself. Because you're never doing it alone.
And then just thinking about a scenario like this that's just, you know, imaginary sort of role play. What are you doing at that point? You've slowed your body down and, you know, she's taking an interest in you. Is that, are you worried at that point that anything else, you know, are you still looking out for some other threat? Because, you know, that, and I'm just wondering, does the guy come back?
I'm currently not looking at any future threat. I'm trying to live in the moment. You know, obviously this beautiful lady is here with the wrong guy, and he's picking up his keys on the other side of the room. I've turned my back on him, and now I'm focusing all my attention on this beautiful potential replacement mother for my two sons.
Wow.
And so then I've slowed down my heart, and I just ask, can I ask you some questions about you? And yeah, I'm sure he's made a phone call by now, and he's got two or three of his, you know, garage time buddies coming down here. But that's minutes away.
Okay. Is Springsteen still on the jukebox? Or
the songs have changed. Now No Doubt is playing.
Oh, awesome.
The vibe has picked up, but it's also kind of a little tension between us. And then, sure, the door swings open.
Okay.
And there's three guys there. They all have tattoos of various, you know, animated characters on their arms. Just ridiculous.
And then at that point, are you going, and, you know, I know this is just, you know, we're just kind of thinking about this as an exercise, but you're going, okay, there's three guys. I'm one guy. What are you doing in that scenario?
So I ask her for a permission to take a moment from our conversation. I turn around just to show the guys respect so I can look them in the eye. It's all about eye contact. Okay. You know, you have to be able to stare sin in the face.
Uh-huh.
If you can't, then you're as weak as it. Uh-huh. And then usually what I do, anytime I'm threatened, this is one of the first things I do. I hold my arms out to my sides.
Oh, ooh. Kind of in a cross pose.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one thing I didn't mention at Christ Karate, as we do our belt ceremonies, is the one thing that we do is we always, before we present the belt, we strap our children to a piece of cutout drywall that's in the shape of a crucifix. And we kind of like tie their arms around it. And then they have to snap the drywall.
Oh, that's so
cool.
Fun.
Because they won't be held by a crucifix, you know. They have to break it for him.
Awesome. Oh, I love that. So, and going back to the scenario, you've got your three guys, and I'm just
And Gwen Stefani is in the air behind you, going, "I'm just a girl in the world."
Oh, that's funny. I was thinking it was Spiderweb.
Oh.
But,
I'm looking at this model wing.
But yeah, so you've got the three guys coming at you now, and at that point, are you just pulling out your gun?
You know what? Yeah, I touched for my hip. Up. Ah! You know what? I just touched my hip in the imagining scenario, and my gun was not there.
Oh.
I remember that Bryce had asked if he could clean it. And I was a little hesitant because, we had barely patched the holes in the drywall at home.
Right.
But I let him, and I still wore, you know, my holster as I was out, and I realized my gun's not there. And the reason for a gun is to end the threat quickly. Mm. It's really, a gun is faster than an arm. It's faster than a punch. It's faster than a kick. So you always want to go to your gun first. But in this time, my gun wasn't in my holster.
That's too bad because I know they say what the only thing better than three guys without guns is one guy with a gun.
Yeah.
One guy with a gun is, he can command a room.
It's science.
So, and just, is that the end of the sort of scenario that we're talking about?
Well, have these three guys come in peace?
They have not come in peace. They are come. I mean, they came in the door. The first one that came in was the shortest one. He moved to the right. Then we had this kind of chunky guy move to the left. And then we've got this big, tall, basketball-looking guy standing in the middle. And you can tell that he's the leader of the crew. Mm-hmm. And these other two guys are drunk, sauced up, ready to take some action. And they see one guy. They see their buddy just got his ring finger kind of popped, it's bending backwards. Now they've got three guys looking at one guy sitting casually in a booth, talking to the other guy's ex-wife. Yeah, they think they're going to handle this.
Right.
And I take a moment just to appreciate that. They think they're going to wipe me off of the earth.
I know we're just learning about how to sort of defend our faith in a scenario like this, but what would if all those specific things had happened to me, what would you do at that point?
Well, I would stand up and I would ask them, do you want to go any further? Same thing, putting the end at the beginning of the last confrontation.
Oh, I love that. Full circle.
They're really a continuation. And then they laugh, they chuckle. They're like, oh, yeah, I want to take this as far as it's going to go. Same thing that their buddies said. So, you know, these are all backwoods idiots. So I prepare myself to go the whole way, to walk the path, not alone, with he who stands next to him. Mm. I put up my cross, just like everything before. I slowly walk forward towards them. And then this man has his keys in between his fingers.
Oh, no, the guy for the keys from before?
No. This is the chunkier. Yeah, the chunkier man who moved to the right.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, yeah, if someone hits you with one of those, you know, like little dongle things for a Nissan, it's probably not going to hit.
No. I walk towards them. He comes in with a side swipe with his keys, you know, in the middle of his middle finger and ring. And if this thing hits my neck, you know, I'm punctured. But fortunately, what we do is kind of, it all moves in circles. It's concentric circles. I stop the first blow that was coming to my neck. I use my fingers. I do a sort of a wrist grab, kind of what I did to you earlier. It hurt, didn't it?
It did. It was stunning. I couldn't believe that.
I bend his arm back. I throw that guy into the jukebox. Uh-oh, no more music. Now the other two boys are coming over me. I got the smaller one coming first. I twist him, throw him into the condom machine. I shouldn't even be in here. You know, I hate this type of a place.
That's right.
I'm just here because I wandered in. I thought I was going to use the phone and maybe some Wi-Fi. And now it's just me and basketball standing up. He tries to kick me. I catch his foot in between my knees, pull off his shoe. I throw his shoe at his face. He falls back out the door and I say, do you want to go any further? I don't even wait. I just say that because I'm trying to be funny. I follow him outside. Now the woman has followed outside. She's like, please don't. He's the cousin of my ex-husband. Don't do this. I say, of course I won't do this then.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, that is so kind. You're so strong. You're so brave. Can I give you my information?
Oh.
I take it and I'm setting up a second date.
Well, what did she give you? Did she say like 5'6", 140 pounds? Like what was the information?
Oh, it was her phone number, her kind of email address, and then her life insurance place. I guess she's a life insurance agent. So it's got the address of her. You know what's crazy?
What?
Is the address on the card was just on the other side of the mini mall where my Christ Karate facility is.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Sanford Mini Strip Mall.
I mean, what a scenario, and it really does help me kind of imagine with great detail what that might be like. I mean, thank you so much. I guess I was kind of just wondering, like, here are three moves, you know, like stop, drop, and roll or something, and we really got a story there.
Well, What's the deal with Bruce Lee? I just don't know that much.
Bruce Lee was a Chinese martial artist actor.
Okay.
Now, I've got some real problems with Bruce Lee. He came up with Jeet Kune Do. It's all about like the one-inch punch and, you know, pulling from your hip and twisting. It's all about using your own body propulsion.
Sounds stupid.
It's so dumb. Like when you watch it on screen, he just looks so silly. He wears tight pants. He talks with confidence. And I was a big fan of the Green Hornet. I did not like Kato. I liked the Green Hornet. What he used to do to his stuntmen is he would do this thing called tapping, where you have to be as a martial artist or a belief-based artist using martial art moves, you have to be able to control your body so much that you stop before impact.
Oh.
And then he would tag the stuntmen on the face or the arm, and they would just get so upset about him. He was just a jerk.
Well, I don't know what Kato Kaelin was doing there, but I do think he killed Nicole Brown. Do you know about Jedi Knights from Lucasfilm stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The kid movies.
Yeah. What are the crossovers with Jedis and martial artists?
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot. Like, our robes, we don't wear a typical karate gi. We wear, like, a full white robe. And I guess, you know, I've seen the movies when I was staying at a buddy's house, and they're very similar. It's just like a long, open, flowing robe. Mm-hmm. It looks like ours. Now, what they could do is move objects with their head. That's straight witchcraft, if you ask me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because I liked when in the early ones, Obi-Wan said, these are not the droids you're looking for. I want to learn an art form like that, because my body is, you know, cellulite and soft and stuff, and I want to put a mind freeze on anyone in any room I'm in that I go, you cannot see my body. You know what I mean?
I would say, you know what, I've seen you up there at church, and I have never noticed an ounce of cellulite.
Is that right? Well, I wear very flowing fabrics. I guess that's kind of a martial arty thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You're being very deceptive with your clothing.
Yeah, I was noticing, because even your clothing, the Ed Hardy shirt is probably like a 3XL or something, and your jeans are JNCOs, which are cool. I saw those are back.
It's actually two Ed Hardy shirts sewn together.
Oh, that's wow. Cool. And is that your white belt? You just put your white belt on with any outfit?
Yep, absolutely. It goes either over my Ed Hardy if I'm trying to have a little billowy up top, you know, or I put it on. I sleep with it, so it's always on.
And then I see, of course, the chest holster is cool, too.
Yeah, two guns at the chest, you know, and I also have one around my ankle.
You know, have you ever heard, and this is something that not a lot of Americans know, but you know, in Australia, as soon as you turn 16, you've got to join the army, and you join it for 3 years. And I think it's such a great thing because you know, it teaches everyone discipline and patriotism and all that stuff. But something they teach to the army that I never understood is they all know a martial art. It's an Australian martial art called Googie-Loo. And what Googie-Loo is basically, I mean, what they were doing is, I guess it was kind of imitating the motions of animals, which I understand, you know, crane kick, things like this. But Googie-Loo is, I guess they're just kind of like all jumping around, and they like, and they're doing their hands back and forth kind of like a kangaroo. And I was like, oh, have you ever heard of Googie-Loo? And is that something that's even on your radar?
You know what? And I hate to be disrespectful here, but we do chuckle at Googie-Loo, you know, and kind of based on, you know, the marsupial poses or,
right,
like, you know, grasshoppers and snakes. It's just very ineffective. And I'm trying to be as respectful as I can.
Well, no respect untaken, but I do think that something about Googie-Loo that's, it's fun to watch because the way they train them is on trampolines. And awesome. I, you know, I'd always been like, you're never going to be fighting a war on trampolines. In fact, you're probably never going to be fighting a war. It's Australia. Nobody's really calling us for war. So I always wondered, like, why are you guys all jumping around on trampolines trying to, you know, punch and kick each other? Because this doesn't seem like a real world scenario unless, you know, on a trampoline planet or something.
It's definitely fun. Capoeira, too, is one that's like dance fighting. You're your legs in the air. You're moving around. You're looking like a record player on a knob. It's just not effective. You know, me and my boys, we barely ever lift our legs above our waist.
Oh, really?
Well, I've got you can see I've got a pretty big belly. You know, I love my soda. I love my chips. But I've got a fist for a head. I've got a foot for a groin. I've got a knee for a groin. And I've got a thigh for a groin. You know, there's lots of ways to hit the groin without picking my foot up above my head. I don't even understand how they do that. We don't stretch in my class.
Oh.
There's no stretching. There's no breathing exercises.
What are ways to hit a groin without picking up your feet?
Well, what's your name a part of the leg?
I guess knee.
Yeah. Okay. Name a harder part of the leg, a different one that you wouldn't think would go towards a groin.
Harder than the knee?
No. Like a more difficult to think impacting a groin.
Oh, like maybe like your hip?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It, depending on what I do is, you can judge a person and the crevices that they have.
Oh.
You know, like it, there was this documentary, Hero Dreams of Sushi. He's a sushi maker, and he can look at a person and see the size of their mouth, and he creates the piece of sushi for that mouth. I look at that with a body. So if I'm looking at a larger person, you know, my hip is gonna shove right there in that crotch, right, nice and snug, and then I can hit both testicles at the same time.
Oh,
I can get right up there in the peanut pocket if it's a woman, but I wouldn't hit a woman, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to hit a woman?
You know what? I've hit a few women that I didn't know were women.
Oh well, what are you gonna do? That's not on you. That's not on you.
Yeah, me and my boys love to go to parks across the United States, and so we stop at a lot of truck stops, and you just can't tell.
Yeah.
Some women, you just can't tell. We call them truck fighters.
Would you fight a kangaroo?
Oh, give me the chance.
Really? I've heard that they pack a punch.
I'll take him out, and I'll live in his pouch.
Oh,
wow. We'll set up shop.
Take a little
nap
in there.
Now, I hate to bring up, a sore subject, but maybe it isn't. My first question is, have you ever lost a fight?
Oh.
Yeah, I have lost a fight. My boys, you know, to be totally honest, our record is not good as a school either.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'll get to my boys and then I'll get to me here. So what we do is, you know, there's a lot of regional, international, national competitions. And so my boys were going up against all these secular kids and just losing.
Oh.
You know, it's very demoralizing. They're using also tactics that we just don't approve of.
Okay.
Right.
You know, headlocks, you know, type of. They were padding.
Terrible.
Well, that's always a bummer because I always feel like Christians are compared to secular people on all these different things. And I'm like, well, it's not the same playing field. We're on God's playing field. You guys are doing this other thing. And it's like, well, people say, well, your schools aren't as good and, well, your music's not as good, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah, but we're doing it for the glory of God. Totally different.
Indeed. Could not agree more. So we've started our own holy championship, you know, where we fight other schools that are influenced by the power of Christ or have the fundamentals of Christianity or Presbyterian or any faith-based system.
Oh,
and there our school has started to fare fairly well after that.
Oh, awesome. I love that. And I guess my second question is, are you dating anyone right now, you know, in light of your wife's, you know, untimely departure?
I've got the net out and I am looking for any fish to grab. So, you know, please put up my information. You know, I will meet anyone.
That is awesome. Now, ever since you said Hero Dreams of Sushi, I can't stop thinking. I got to be honest with you. He's not a hero if he's putting sushi in my mouth, okay? If you want to be a hero, you're going to be putting some fettuccine or rigatoni in my mouth and some focaccia.
Yeah, you need some cooked meats. You need some cooked meats in that Orify.
I think the martial arts are neat because it gives the kids something to shoot for. I want to get the yellow belt, and now I want to get the next belt. You got to give them things that we can judge them on, you know? I feel like in the public school now, they're trying to give out ribbons for things like empathy and stuff, and I'm like, no. You got to give ribbons for how far you jump.
Oh, yeah. Do you give awards to your kids in the karate school?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's about achievements, not,
yes,
you know, faux achievements. Like, greatest smile or most smiles in a day. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. With T-ball now, nobody even wins the T-ball game.
Yeah, everybody gets a trophy. Come on.
You just got these kids running around the bases for nothing.
Makes no sense.
Nothing. Before I forget, Jersh, how do you feel about the Bible verse where Jesus says to turn the other cheek?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be hard.
I think, you know, and I can only tell you how I interpret that.
Okay.
I think it's a really great tactic for deception. Seeming like you're walking away, you know, you're lowering your eyes, and then they think, ha, 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 their confidence is up.
Uh-huh.
And then you can turn and deliver the blow to the face. That's what I think he meant, and that's what I tell my boys that I think he meant.
That does make a lot of sense. Yeah, turn the other cheek so that you're coming full circle sort of around the back, and then you've really got an advantage.
Yeah, because he turns the cheek twice.
Right.
Turns it away, and then back. Oof. Then you've got that centrifugal motion. Boom, right to the head.
Nobody talks about what he's doing after he turns the cheek. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And back to this being defeated or defeating your opponent. See, women know by instinct not to hurt a man's ego, not to make him feel rejected or anything, because they can kill us, you know? But as a man, like that scenario where you threw the fella's keys, now, aren't you worried that if he feels defeated, rejected, embarrassed, it's going to hurt his ego? And when you do that to a man, you're in dangerous territory.
Yeah, I think now you're talking about cross-gender versus, you know, within the same gender. A man hurting another man's ego, that's about getting to the top of the hierarchy. Top of the food chain, who's the alpha dog, you know? Yeah, it's not good when a woman crosses a man's ego, because then you just feel completely defeated and deflated because you're not allowed to use your physical strength to dominate the woman in that scenario.
Right.
You know, otherwise, you'd be looked down at. You'd fall on that hierarchy between the other men.
Right. And she's actually called the weaker sex.
Exactly.
So then you have that to overcome.
Oh, I thought they were called the weakest link.
Oh, maybe that's it. Well, when you said you kicked her in her pita pocket, man, I started to get a hankering for maybe like a one of those gyros that you put in a pita. Now, that's lamb meat, which I feel is real biblical. And they put that white sauce on there, that dressing, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of lambs, you know, a lot of kung fu martial arts, you know, places have cobras and dragons, and all of our boys have our robes have embroidered lambs on the back.
Oh, that is so
really sick.
Well, I'm sure you've got a busy day, and I'm going to have to try one more time here to. Okay.
Yeah, you feel that? You feel that?
Oh, wow! That was a hip right to my groin. Wow. Wow.
You got him in his pita pocket.
Yeah, I could feel his donor kebab resting on my quad.
Jersh Lurgan was played by Josh Logan. Follow him at Joshua D. Logan. He's the best. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.